Welcome back to another episode of the Inside the Huddle podcast on the Sports Voice of Warren Central Warriors, 91.1 WEDM. I'm your host, Colin Echols, joined by four of my other podcast members this week. It's Isaiah Hoffman, Tazai Relford, Jameson Nelson, and Carly Wagner. First off, how y'all doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing pretty good, you know, ready for another good week of discussion topics, and this week we are primarily focusing on the NFL draft, which took place last Thursday. And Isaiah, I know you have a ton to say about this, and we will get into that in a sec, but just an overview of kind of what happened. The number one pick overall this year, Joe Burrow from LSU. Obviously, we all kind of expected that to be what that was. And then, you know, just a few hours ago when we're recording this, the Bengals did release Andy Dalton. So we can all expect that Joe Burrow will be the number one man for the Cincinnati Bengals this year.
There's been a lot of talk about the Bengals not necessarily being the best place for Burrow to be, just with, you know, the environment that is around the Bengals. I feel like it could go one of two ways. You know, they still have AJ Green, which is still, you know, I still believe top 10 receiver in the NFL. And, you know, they have a solid O-line. They picked up pieces to surround Burrow and the draft. So I think if Burrow comes with the right energy and the Bengals do what they're supposed to do as an organization, then there should be, like, no problem with him being successful in the league.
I think when you look at who they drafted, this draft was all about starting to build around Burrow. I think you look at the pick, who was it? Higgins from Clemson. They got a lot of people on the offensive side of the ball to kind of build around Burrow, either to give him weapons or protect him, was really their main goal throughout the whole draft after they got Burrow in the first round.
For sure. And then, you know, you move on to the second and third pick. By the way, all three of the top three picks all came from Ohio State at some point in time. They all played at some point. Joe Burrow obviously transferring out after his junior year to play at LSU. But the top three picks in the NFL this year, Isaiah, like I said, I know you're going to have a lot to say about this, so go ahead and give your feedback on how you feel about the top three, and after that, we'll go into the top five.
So Chase Young, he went to Washington. The top three was really the most obvious part of the draft. I think, honestly, once we were done with LA is when the draft really began, because it went Burrow, then Chase Young, and then Jeff Okuda, who went to Detroit, which were all really good picks. They were really mentioned to be the top draft picks for the longest time. Washington, it just made sense. Chase Young, he's in, like, a really good class of people that got a 99 overall draft grade heading into this, and he just fits. He's from Maryland, where the Redskins are pretty much based. So, I mean, it was just a good fit. And then Detroit, I mean, Okuda was just the obvious pick for them. There was really nobody else they wanted to take unless they were getting ready to get rid of Matthew Stafford. There was really no other pick besides Okuda.
Yeah, definitely a very solid top three picks this year in the NFL draft. And probably one of the most surprising ones, I thought, was Tua going number five overall. And the only reason I say that is there's a lot of kind of, you know, uncertainty about him at this point in time with his hip injury that he suffered last year. And through all the projections before the draft had actually happened, it seemed like he was supposed to go way later in the first round than he really did.
The lowest I saw in the mock draft was the lowest he was going to get was to Jacksonville, and that was only at pick 9, or he was either going to go to the Chargers. So he was going to go to one of the three teams. I like the fit for Miami. I hope they don't give him Dan Marino's number, 13. He needs to get a new number. But I think, honestly, he needs to sit a year back, let him fully rehab if he's not fully healthy, which I heard he was. But he's probably, I think, the only quarterback that starts right away is probably Herbert and Burrow, and that's probably that. The Bengals just cut Dalton. So I feel like those are the only two quarterbacks we're going to see start besides probably Jalen Hurts, because I heard the Eagles want to run like two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I've heard that they're going to try to put Hurts in a situation where, you know, he's going to grow as a quarterback, but they're going to they might give him like a flex option, like a Taysom Hill his first year, if he's willing to. And in the interview, he sounded willing to, but then he also noted that he didn't want to become a replica of Taysom Hill.
Yeah, which I don't think he can be. I don't. He's a quarterback, and I mean, I don't think he fits how he could play. Like Taysom Hill, he can play multiple positions. I don't think Hurts can do that. I think the way they're going to run it should probably work, but I still feel like they had an opportunity. They really had a great opportunity in the first round to trade up, because CeeDee Lamb fell, and it's surprising how much he fell, because he didn't get picked by Oakland. He didn't get picked by Denver. CeeDee Lamb fell. The top receiver in the draft fell to 17 to the Cowboys. And Atlanta, from what I was hearing, Philly was trying to trade up to get CeeDee before the Cowboys, because they knew the Cowboys were going to take him. And they were trying to make a trade to get up there, but they just couldn't. They weren't offering Atlanta what they wanted. So they tried to get a better receiver. So I think taking Jalen Hurts was the right option also, because of Wentz. He seemed to not be healthy throughout the last like two or three seasons.
I see Hurts playing at least three or four games this year. Wentz is a great quarterback when healthy, but the sad part is he's almost never completely healthy. He had that amazing season not too long ago, and right when it all mattered, he was unable to play. And, you know, the Eagles know how important it is to have a backup quarterback, because a backup quarterback saved their whole Super Bowl run not too long ago. So I think it was a wise decision from the GM and the coach over there at Philly to get Hurts.
Yeah, definitely wasn't a bad pickup there at all, I don't think. Like you said, he's going to get in on a couple games this year, but, you know, I don't anticipate him really doing a whole lot more than that, because the Eagles still are going to rely heavily on Carson Wentz.
Yeah, they're going to have to rely on him a lot, just because, I mean, that's your franchise quarterback, but I mean, I feel like it could be even more than just three or four games, just because Wentz has not been able to stay healthy this period of time. And I'm not worried for the Eagles, just because Coach Doug Peterson, he's a wise coach. He knows what he's doing. He's one of the top coaches in the league, in my opinion. And I think he can mold Jalen Hurts. I think the thing they did with Foles is they ran the offense how Foles wanted it to run, and Peterson worked with Foles. So we got to see just, you know, Wentz, they work, how they want to do Wentz, the style of offense they want to do with Wentz. Now, say Wentz gets hurt, it's figuring out what style does Hurts want to do. Is it more like let Hurts run the ball and throw, or are they going to try to keep him more in the pocket? Because at Oklahoma, he could run and do whatever he needed to. So we'll see what the Eagles do with Hurts.
I can see them letting him just be himself. The Eagles they're not really a constructed team, because believe it or not, it'd be a few times where, you know, went to break out. So, you know, I can see them, you know, just letting him be himself. I feel like if for some reason were to get injured, God forbid, I can see them being more running team. After that standpoint, than being the pocket team that they are.
Yeah, it would definitely be interesting to see what happened if Wentz got down. And you know, moving forward, Isaiah, you know, we were kind of talking, Jameson, I know we were talking too, kind of about the Green Bay Packers situation with them drafting a quarterback in the first round. And another thing that I saw too was the time period where, so Aaron Rodgers right now is the same age as Brett Favre was when the Packers drafted Rodgers. So, there's
the only difference Oh, go ahead.
Nah, you're good. Go ahead.
The only difference, like, the age is the same. It's the contract years. Favre has 3 years, and I think Rodgers has 4 years left on his deal.
Yeah, I don't anticipate. I don't anticipate the Packers, you know, doing anything with Aaron Rodgers anytime soon in terms of getting rid of him. You know, one, he's been there for so long. Two, he's been a solid quarterback and a franchise quarterback for basically the whole time he's been starting there. So, but I don't think them picking up a quarterback in the first round was the worst thing ever. You know, Aaron Rodgers is getting a little bit older, and he has been facing some injury stuff the past few years. So I think that pickup in the first round was a solid pickup.
It's not that. It's, to me personally, it's not that they got a quarterback in the first round. It's the fact that this being one of the deepest wide receiver drafts in years, and you don't draft one, and you could go.
For the fact that you made it to the NFC Championship game this year, this last season, you made it to the NFC Championship. So, obviously, okay, let's get a weapon for Rodgers. And then you draft a quarterback. It's just obviously clear because I forgot. And it's funny because it was like in the first round, at the beginning of the first round, Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show during the draft, like an hour ago. And he was saying, oh, it'd be nice if we could get an offensive weapon in the first round. The last time the Packers got an offensive weapon in the first round was in 2002. It was the last time they drafted an offensive weapon for their quarterback, was in 2002. And then instead of getting some help for Aaron Rodgers, who still has 4 years left on his deal, you get his backup or his predecessor instead. It just doesn't make any sense because quarterbacks now, they don't sit for 3 or 4 years like Rodgers did behind Favre. You just don't do that anymore. So I think it's just a weird pick, and it just obviously shows that, I don't even know how to say his name, LaFleur and the GM, they're just, it's a new regime in Green Bay, because it's not McCarthy, and it's not the other it's not the old GM. It's a new regime, and it's clear they don't want Rodgers anymore.
Whoa, hold on. You just said they don't want Rodgers anymore?
Because, and also, yeah, it's clear. It's so clear. Yeah, it obviously don't want Rodgers.
It does seem like they're ready to move past the whole Rodgers thing. Just off the, like, their actions, because of LaFleur saying that he doesn't want to give in to Aaron Rodgers. Like, come on. Like, you guys are on the same team. Literally, without Rodgers, you have nothing.
That's not true. That's not entirely true. Honestly, because there is still a solid receiving core in Green Bay.
Okay, but I'm telling you right now, if you put Jordan Love in that offense, they're not winning more than 6 games.
That may be true.
It just doesn't make sense. You don't take there is going to be so many Jordan Love type quarterbacks in next year's draft and the year after that. Because from what I heard, LaFleur really wanted Jordan Love, and the reason they also took Love and traded for him was, the Colts had a deal in place to trade up with Seattle, Seattle was the pick right before Green Bay took Love and traded up. The Colts had a plan to trade their second pick in the second round to Seattle so they could take Jordan Love. So that was also why they moved up. And then LaFleur really liked Jordan Love at the same time when they went to the combine and saw Love. And they said if he was there, they were going to take him. So that also hints at why they took him so early. And then Brett Favre was on the Rich Eisen show, and he talked to Rodgers, and apparently Rodgers is upset about the pick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame him for being upset about it, but I mean, at the end of the day, I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is one of those quarterbacks that, number one, he's already left his legacy in Green Bay. We can get that out the way, but even if he does get released, which praying he doesn't, because, you know, I'm a Packer fan, but praying he doesn't get released. If he does, he's going to get picked up by some other team and he's going to go over there and do his thing. So I really don't think that if Aaron Rodgers were to get released, he would be, you know, in a world of hurt or something. He's going to have somewhere else to go.
He's not going to get released. He's going
to get... You just think he's going to get moved?
It's not about him. It's just a simple fact. Even if even with them getting love and the second, it was so many receivers. They didn't get all the way to the seven, and you know, he was a top receiver at Ohio State, and they couldn't grab him.
Yeah.
Yeah. This receiver class was just so deep, and for you not, I mean, yeah, they did get a receiver, but this is just such deep receiver class to where you could have taken any other quarterback. There was need to get Jordan Love. There was plenty of other good quarterbacks. Jake Fromm, Jalen Hurts, Jacob Eason.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of good drafting going around this year. Now, you know, kind of moving away from the draft, there's also been a lot of big moves throughout the NFL in general. Obviously, we know probably the biggest one, Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay this year. And then also the Patriots trading Ron Gronkowski to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. So that threat's moving to Florida. There's Jameis Winston now moving over to New Orleans, and you know, there's just a lot of stuff going around that could really heavily impact the NFL as a whole this year.
Yeah, there's still plenty of good free agents on the board. Jadeveon Clowney, one of the best defensive ends in the league, still out there. Andy Dalton and Cam Newton, they're still out there. And I think with Jameis only getting paid $1.1 million, I feel like that's really going to affect or hurt how much Dalton and Newton get paid. Because as of right now, Jacksonville is the favorite to get either one of the two. And then I heard Jadeveon Clowney is either going to the Jets, Giants, or Colts. So we'll see what happens with those free agents as well.
Well, the whole Jameis thing, I think it might hurt his players pay to an extent, but he also chose that he was offered like 4 times the amount that he took from the team just because he wants to get better as a quarterback. And I feel like it's a perfect place to build the legend and the league, Drew Brees, and you know, one of the best players of our time, Peyton. I only see and better, you know, he has the arm, he has skill, it's just the vision is his work, he needs to work on him. Who better than he's, you know, one of the most accurate receivers, QBs of our.
Yeah, it is definitely going to be a big learning process for Jameis Winston. You know, he's still young, he still has plenty of potential and everything like that. That's kind of just the biggest news in the NFL right now. Anyone else have anything to add just, you know, towards the end? We're all good? All right. Then we are going to wrap this episode up a little bit shorter because not much in sports is going on, obviously, at this time. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Inside the Huddle. Hope y'all stay safe out there, and we will catch you with another episode next week on the Sports Voice of your Warren Central Warriors, 91.1 WEDM.